It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Welcome to Science Friction, the sci-fi comedy game show podcast where comedians earn tickets for their opinions and how close those opinions are to my opinions. I'm your host, Asterios Kotas, with me, two of my oldest friends in the L.A. comedy scene. We got Ed Galvez.
Yay, that's me.
Comedian, actor, stand-up, friend,
Ed Galvez. How
you
doing?
What do you win? Yeah, is there a prize?
Yeah, there are prizes. There's a first place and second place prize. Those prizes are blind bags. If you don't know what that is, you will when I hand it to you. So you know, I don't even know what you're going to win.
Ed, what do you think a blind bag is?
What do you think a blind bag is?
I'm thinking like a grab bag. Like I just pick a bag and it could be like, it's kind of like Let's Make a Deal. Where you are just like, I'll go with like curtain number two. And then, you know.
No, it's a bag that has that movie At First Sight in it with Val Kilmer.
Every blind bag
has
every
blind bag has a copy of that Val Kilmer blind guy movie.
So when I said so I didn't know what you were going to win, I lied. I know exactly what you're going to win. And you both win the same prize, so first and second place are meaningless.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Ed, you were there with me at Let's Make a Deal.
Yes, I was.
Okay, listeners, if you don't know, I was on Let's Make a Deal once, and what's his name?
No, you
Wayne
crushed.
Brady. Wayne Brady?
You crushed on Let's Make a Deal
I did
once.
Win Let's Make a Deal, but Wayne Brady got very upset at my riffing, because they handed me a wireless mic, and they just told me to talk, and so I started screaming at the audience. I was like, what do you guys think I should do? And they were like, take the money. No, take the curtain. And I went, I don't care what you think. I'm not here to listen to you. I'm here to listen to me. AsteriosKotas.com. And I kept plugging my own website. Yeah, he got real upset with me.
My favorite part was the next day when you called me. You're like, hey, did I seem like a crazy person? And I was like, you seemed very Asterios. He's like, way to friend it up. But seriously.
No,
I was just like, and I said, anybody that knows you will think it's hilarious. Anybody that doesn't know you won't think about it.
It played much worse when you did that during his performance of Kinky Boots.
You know what? I want Neil Patrick Harris, and I won't stand for anything else. I don't know why I had to make it racial, but I did have to make it racial.
Yeah. I don't think he's been in Kinky Boots.
NPH?
Yeah, you're thinking of Hedwig, right?
I may be thinking.
Yes, okay. But I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. That should have been NPH.
Yeah, he would have been great at that. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know anything about Kinky Boots. I walk around New York City and I see posters for some big red boots.
Yeah.
I'm like, these boots didn't seem fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays one of the boots.
He does?
Yeah.
Is there a good boot and an evil boot that's in Kinky Boots?
Yeah, good boot, bad boot. And it's all about the boot caught in the middle.
All right. Five tickets for coming up with something that I'm sure is better than the actual Kinky Boots. Hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kinky Boots fans, we got Joan Ford over here. Well, my best friend.
Oh, hello.
She was the best person at my goddamn wedding. And,
that's true.
Lover. Talk to me, Joni. How's everything?
Everything's great. You know, just living and dying in L.A.
Awesome. Wait, let me get your Jeopardy factoid.
Oh, shoot. I was supposed to come up with one of those. I once on a plane with Huey Lewis. Is that a Jeopardy factoid?
Was he in first class and you were in coach? Were you both in coach? How did that work?
We were both in first class because it was the time I got bumped up to first class.
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
I got a Sunday and watched all of season 5 of Downton Abbey, and Huey Lewis was like 2 seats over from me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really love Huey Lewis in the news. I think that's... Wait! Did you guys hear that... All right. So clearly, I want a new drug. The Ghostbusters theme. It's I want a new drug.
Yes.
We all know that.
Yeah.
All right. So then they settled it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, nobody's right and nobody's wrong. There's just a gigantic amount of money that's being paid to Huey Lewis from... Was it Columbia? Paramount?
No, directly from Ray Parker Jr.
Directly from Ray Parker Jr.
Ruined.
But who knows who's right and who's wrong? And then... 15 years later, Huey Lewis is on some VH1 Behind the Music thing, and he's like, yeah, that guy stole from me. Stole my song. Ray Parker Jr. is like, wait a minute, Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
We had a settlement that said we didn't know who was writing it. And so Ray Parker Jr. sues Huey Lewis. Now Ray Parker Jr. is the face, and Huey Lewis is the heel. And that's the real news, Ed Galvez. When you sign a settlement, shut up about it.
That was the trial of the century everybody's referring to, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
That
it lasted an entire century.
That's going to be the new American crime.
Yeah.
What?
American crime story.
Can't wait. What great character actress will we put in a wig this time? Yeah, who knows?
Who
Edie Falco?
Let's cast it. Wait, who? Let's cast this right now. Who's Huey Lewis?
Okay.
Matthew Perry.
That's perfect because they're both like thick.
Yeah, they're both thick. Looking
both
a little.
Funny.
Yeah, they look like they had some fun in the. Well, Huey Lewis the 80s, Matthew Perry the 90s, but you know. You can
literally sing a song about wanting a different drug.
A brand new one.
Because all the old drugs wore off.
Yeah.
That's a part of machine.
And then you.
Terrence Howard as Ray Parker Jr.
Perfect.
I love it.
Call FX.
I love this.
Ed, I said call FX.
Ed,
get out your phone and call FX.
Beep, 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 beep.
Put FX2 on hold and then play them against each other.
Yeah. All right, let me pull out my other phone because I'm so rich.
All right, I want your Jeopardy factoid, Mr. Galvez.
Okay, so I was going to say, I was in a Wendy's commercial that got banned because it was racially insensitive. But I had nothing to do with the racially insensitive stuff.
Tell me everything. Wait, no, hold on. A, 10 tickets for piquing my interest to this incredible degree.
Well, in this commercial, there is a doctor who's like, today we're going to find out why the four-alarm chicken sandwich is so spicy. And my assistant will demonstrate.
The four-alarm chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like you said the forlorn chicken sandwich, and now I'm just imagining a very sad chicken sandwich.
A four-alarm
chicken
sandwich.
Whoa, is me.
So I stand behind a cartoon-style like x-ray machine where like you can see my innards kind of like predator style.
Got it.
And then like I take a bite of it, and he's like, clearly you can see my body temperature starts getting more red. And then I blow up. But the doctor was from India, and so they're just like, brown person and explosions. We can't have that on TV, even though 9/11's been like 7 years ago. And so they pulled a plug on it.
Wait, So in order to stop a racist commercial, they deprived an Indian actor and a Hispanic actor of money.
Yeah.
Great job, Hollywood. Yeah. You did it.
Guys,
you solved racism.
Yeah, guys, I don't like to talk a lot about PC culture run amok, but that's the clearest
that's
example
name.
Of PC. Well, yeah,
Joe,
so I do.
PC Joan, culture run amok.
You know that cartoon duck amok?
Yeah.
Joan animated
I'm into that.
Going cisgender this and that. Triggering.
Yeah.
Look, I know you didn't get tens of thousands of dollars of residuals off of that commercial, but you do get 10 tickets.
What? That's even better. Take that, every girl that rejected me in high school.
Oh, you want to talk about it?
I just did.
Okay, but
I'm fine with it now.
Do you want to go? No, I mean, these girls that reject you in high school, you want to go deep on it? No, I'm kidding. Sorry. All right. We're going to play our first game. Our first game is called Porgs. Porgs, guys.
Yeah.
Porgs. It's a little rat. Little Star Wars mice.
They're like mice. Penguin mice.
Penguin.
But they're are they from Star Wars?
Wait, you're saying penguin mice. Do you mean like half penguin, half mouse?
Yes.
The porks have flippers?
Yeah, they're aquatic.
Okay, that's 5 tickets. Because here's the thing. Here's how the game works. I don't know shit about porks. So I will either take true pork facts or false pork facts that I believe. And I will be completely serious about this. I'm not going to be like, no. I'm very gullible. So... pork facts, true, false, tickets reach pork fact. I don't know shit about porgs. Red pill me on porgs.
Porgs are the native inhabitants of the planet Octu.
5 tickets. Octu, how do you, I know you probably don't know how to spell, but how do you spell it?
A-C-H-T-O, one, it's all one word.
Like a chew?
Yeah, like Octu, which is the hermity planet, the planet where Luke Skywalker went into hiding after Kylo Ren destroyed the Jedi training temple that he was training him at.
Okay, that's another 5 tickets. Wait, so Luke Skywalker went to like... Okay, first off, Luke Skywalker definitely left a map to where he was, which is like a real diva move.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm hiding. You'll never find me, by the way. I put a map of me on everyone's favorite droid, R2-D2.
Yeah.
The only place we ever put important information.
Also, it was like there was a big map, and then he like cut a little part of the big map out, and he's like, you'll never... It's like, just go to the part of the big map that's missing.
That's why I was seeing that the whole time. It's like, you got Starfleet. Yeah. Just go do some reconnaissance.
And also, it's like, they're talking about it like it's deep space. It's not deep space. It's like one planet over from like Kashyyyk.
Yes, absolutely, because it's very, very close to wherever the Battle of Starkiller... Wait, it's very, very close to Starkiller Base.
Yeah.
I was going to say, where's the Battle of Starkiller Base? Oh, yeah, it's a Starkiller Base.
Yeah, are we...
That's another 5 tickets, Joe.
What we're saying is Luke wanted to be found.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy, I hope nobody finds me and wants to be trained in the Jedi arts. Looks over shoulder for 5... Galactic Standard Years!
Oh, I'm so sad that my protege betrayed me. I'm gonna go hang out on this planet of islands.
With a bunch of cute hamsters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but they might be carnivorous. They might be meat eaters. That's a rumor that's going around, because they have sharp little teeth.
It's 5 tickets for that. All okay, right. But wait a minute. They are carnivorous. You're saying that like they're dangerous. They're like, do you think they pose a threat to Luke Skywalker?
Not to Luke, because they've befriended Luke. But will they be as will they be as accepting of Rey when she arrives? Especially because it looks like Luke doesn't want her there. If they've befriended Luke and Luke's like, I don't need this bitch up in my disturbing my Jedi peace.
By the way, that's like a great Luke impression.
Thank you. That's how fuck you. What the fuck? I'm Luke Skywalker.
I was like, is Mark Hamill here?
I am Luke Skywalker, you guys.
We're recording this at Meltdown Comics. So I was doing a signing here for Toys for Cheap, and like this girl comes over, she's pushing a baby, and she's got like a very visible leopard print bra. And so I'm like, I bet this girl works in pornography. And so I'm talking to her, and I'm like, hey, what do you do? And she goes, I work in porn. And I'm like, 5 tickets to me, Asterios Kokodos. And then she tells me, this is Mark Hamill's brother's baby. Mark Hamill's brother and the Hamill family wanted me to abort this baby, and I said no.
Wait, the woman in the bra was the baby?
No, the woman in the bra was the mom of the baby.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize there was a baby in the mix. I thought like it's like someone wanted to abort me, but look what I've grown up into.
No,
successful born actress. That baby's gonna be like when it's a teenager. It's like if I have to hear that story one more time, Mom, I'm gonna wish you had aborted.
Yeah.
Me. Like why do you keep throwing that in my face?
Well, she's telling it to complete strangers.
I know. Yeah.
It was the first thing out of her mouth, because she goes like, "I work in porn." I go, "Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so cool. I'm a big fan." Because it's like, you know, I meet pornographic actresses. It's the entertainment industry, and it's like, thank you for your service. What you do is really cool. I don't do it because nobody wants me to, and nobody would pay me to. But it's like, it takes effort to be hot. You gotta put in the work every day. You gotta wake up every day and go, I'm not gonna eat today. I saw a machine because, two things. One, here's my cookies are so fucked. Half of my cookies are for literal cookies, which is great. And like, it's always offering me ads for like, do you want candy? Do you want cookies? Do you want ice cream? I'm always like, yes. But the other half of my cookies, for some reason, think I'm in shape. Like, I always get these ads for like, if you can run an 8-minute mile, you'll get cheap health insurance. And I'm like, no, I definitely can't. And now I'm getting served ads for a machine that produces chewable flavored ice for models. Because all you do all day when you're a model is you eat ice that you like hold an orange juice glass like near it, but not so near it that you drink the orange juice. You eat cotton covered in fruit juice. Man, being a model, rough seas.
Well, I'll tell you why.
I'm because listening. You're a Hollywood actor. You can relate.
Yeah, but no, because they're offering me like deals on coffins. But like,
you got some fucked cookies. Yeah, yeah.
But they are like coffins for models, right? Like coffins for hot bitches.
No, they're called plus size coffins.
Oh, yeah.
No, because they got a load of your boxing videos that you post on the Instagrams. Looking good. I was like, you know what? Before coming here, I was like, I think I'm going to double cross the Asterios. And then I caught a glimpse of that video, and I was like, better not.
How are you going to double cross? What was the scheme?
I don't know. General
double cross in the air.
5 tickets for not double crossing me. Well done. So I keep trying to throw the tickets 1 foot, and they just fall on the floor. So I don't think you have to worry about me.
I get winded, so I'm getting winded talking to you guys. I have no stamina, no gas in the tank.
A lot of my early stand-up material I can't do anymore because I get so winded.
I'm not going to quote this correctly, but pussy-eating gator is what I think of that bit.
I haven't done that in years. But
I love the pussy-eating alligator.
The alligator, my impression of an alligator eating pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
love that. Because, all right, so just real quick, here's what the impression is, because Ed doesn't want to talk about it. It's an alligator that eats out a girl, but then, like,
but there's
really
a setup on why it's there. Yeah. Because when people would ask me, like, what kind of material they do, I go, oh, I just talk about eating pussy. And then they're like, oh, really? I'm like, no, that's a joke. They're like, well, I just said it. Like, because it's a joke, because I don't do that. So so then people think I'm a liar. So in order to clear my good name, I was going to do an impression of an alligator eating pussy. But then you can take it from there.
No, guys, that's the whole thing. No, you did it.
This has been the Ed Galvez cast.
God damn it. I love it.
Colin, with your...
long story short, it's the alligator's way too needy about having eaten out this girl. Yeah. And, like, the alligator, like, wants a lot of validation. Like, the alligator wants to know he's done a good job. And it's just like, oh, this alligator, like, if I knew you were going to be this much of an asshole about eating my pussy, I wouldn't let you eat my pussy. Anyway, porgs.
Porgs.
Galvez, what can you tell me about porgs?
If they only meet, there's, like, four of them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called a porg G.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's five tickets. I don't believe it, but I like it.
They can only eat after midnight.
But
because you eat them before, then it's just bad for their fur.
Do you know what their favorite meal is?
Kentucky Fried Wombat.
I was going to say porgogi. Porogies.
That's five tickets to
kill porg,
I can't.
That's my favorite.
Oh, sorry. That was Ed's favorite.
Five tickets to kill this too. Love it. Porgogi.
If there isn't a pierogi porg tie-in, it's what is Star Wars doing?
But for the band Scar Wars, they wear porg pie hats.
Yes.
No one gets tickets for that. Look, let's
stop. Oh, no.
God damn it.
You stopped the porg pun in its train track.
Why are you being so stingy? There's kids without tickets in Africa, and you're going to hold on to them?
I'm kids. Oh, here's five tickets that I'm ripping apart in front of you. Porg pie hats. Anyway, Joan, now look. I know that you actually probably know everything about porgs.
I literally, because I work at Nerdist, I write for Nerdist, literally I know everything that you can know about porgs right now that has been released.
I want you to just give me a data dump. Just give me the whole story on porgs.
I think I've told you most of what I know. They're aquatic. One of them befriends Chewbacca. They are going to... The theory is that when Last Jedi starts, our old friend Chewbacca is going to be in a bit of a depressive state because he just lost his best friend, Han Solo, and the porgs are going to kind of be like, those emotional care animals for him. He's gonna adopt one, and that's gonna help him get over his sadness.
Oh, that's great!
Yellow vest.
Yeah, they're gonna put a little like they're gonna try to get on like the Death Star 3 with one of them, and he's gonna be like, and some stormtrooper's gonna be like, you can't bring that in here. It's emotional support animal, and they'll be like, I know that's bullshit, but I don't want to get into a whole thing. So yeah, fine, bring in your emotional support porg.
My God.
Now, do you think part of Chewbacca's depression is because since he had that life debt, like it's survivor's remorse, where he's just like part of it, he's like relieved of his.
Yeah.
Now what does he do?
Now he's relieved. He's like, freedom.
Yeah.
Wow, but it's also my best friend's dead.
Yeah.
I got freed, but at what cost?
I do believe he's got the Last Jedi is going to end with him like carving Chewbacca was here into a ceiling post and then hanging himself. That's an official secret I've heard from Star Wars.
Tickets to Joan.
So see,
for filling our heads with the image of a suicidal Chewbacca.
To be fair, my Chewbacca impression, my silent Chewbacca impression has him sucking out a bowcaster for a few seconds because he's depressed.
That is true. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. That's about everything I can learn about porgs right now, I think.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back after this break.
In a world full of movies and television, only one channel is keeping them honest. Screen Junkies.
Welcome back to Science Friction with me, Joan Ford, Ed Galvez, Amasterios, Gogonos. All right, this next game, it's called Kayfabe Only. We're going to talk about what would happen if legendary characters fought each other at WrestleMania. Now, this is not some movie fights bullshit where it's like, this guy would win, or this guy would win. It's just like, collaborate, figure out who would win,
work together. Nobody wants to be associated with movie fights right now.
Oh my God, this Andy Signori guy.
Yeah.
Holy moly, you don't know what happened with Andy Signori?
For our listeners that don't know, I mean,
wait,
I know.
Do you or don't you? Because now I'm very confused.
I don't know.
We probably shouldn't get it. We don't need to get it.
I don't care. I'll talk about it.
All right, I'll talk about it.
Because it's just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So this Andy Signore guy, who never helped my career once, it turned out is bad. And now I'm going to jump on him and pillory him for all it's worth. I'm going to build my brand on his bones. Because you know what? He had the chance to help me out. He could have hired me at Screen Junkies, and he decided not to. So now I'm going to take out that personal vendetta I've got on him. But I'm going to make myself look like a huge male feminist while doing it. That's what's up with me and Andy Signore. The guy's a real creep. Look, apparently Andy Signore was sexually harassing his fucking interns, which is like, A, get better material, Andy Signore. Like, you just, like, if you're gonna rip off, like, if you're gonna rip people off, you have to go after the interns. The easiest move you could do in entertainment, go after the interns. Really, Andy Signore? Apparently, like, he's trying to force sex toys on one of them. It's just a disgusting thing.
Who are you, Bill Clinton? Get out of here.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's 20 years, that's 20-year-old material, Andy Signore.
Yeah.
Because here's a, you know what? Hit on someone where they have the chance to turn you down.
Or, like, maybe just stay faithful to your fucking wife.
Nah. Maybe just fuck your faithful wife.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm sad. And even that was, what I said was gross. Because it's like, don't, even if you don't have a faithful wife, don't terrorize anybody. Yeah. Be a fucking better, general statement, be a better fucking human being.
Yeah, but it's a comedy podcast. We got to come with hot takes. Look, anybody can talk into a microphone and go like, don't do wrong, do right. It's like, yeah, no shit, do right. But here's what I'm saying. You got to go after the big fish in Hollywood. Go ask out Scarlett Johansson or something. Yeah, go ask out Minnie Driver. Go try Andy Signore. Jessica Rabbit, the ultimate catch. Don't terrify your interns. Terrible. Because it's like, what's the worst that happens? You ask an intern out, she says no. Well, now you've made someone feel horrible forever, and you've threatened their job and this and this and that. There's no stakes there. You got to follow the passion. You got to follow the heat, Andy Signore. Go ask out Ray. Come on. Aim higher.
Ray from Ghostbusters. Go ask Ray from Ghostbusters, Andy Signore.
The singer of the Ghostbusters theme.
And then get Proton Pack because he thinks you're Slimer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Andy Signore looks worse than Slimer somehow.
Yeah. If the Ghostbusters found him, they'd be like, oh my, I just feel bad for Slimer
now. But which Slimer version of Slimer?
Himself go.
Any of them, because the Slimer from the new movie is just a Slimer from the old movie with the wife and kids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Lazy, by the way. I wanted a hot, look, if you're going to give me a hot take on how the ghost symbol came out. Oh, it turned out that Rob Corddry's brother spray painted it for no reason. If you're gonna be a hot take on, oh, this is how they came with the trap and this and that, it's just the same old Slimer.
Yeah.
Give me a new Slimer.
Give me new edgy Slimer.
Yeah, exactly. I want Slimer to literally be murdering people. Yeah.
Slimer dice slime.
Yeah. He just suffocates people with his slime.
Yeah.
Everything's different, but Slimer's the sound.
No. A little lazy.
What a piece of crap, am I right? Hey, way to make all fat bearded nerds look bad. Because all these girls already think that all fat bearded nerds are like secretly gross creeps. And they're not wrong. But still, Andy, as a guy who wears flannel and has a big beard, you're really damaging my reputation here. All of it. Fucking Joss Whedon, too. Look, when I go on a show and I say I'm a male feminist and I stand up for feminist beliefs, you know, in order to get laid. But when I do that, what you're doing, Joss Whedon and Andy Signore, is you're making me look like a liar. Don't make me look like... I'm trying to run a game here. Joe, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. No, all male feminists are creeps.
Of course we are. But... isn't that offensive to say that we are? Huh? How about that? You're judging me by my sex?
Not yet. It hasn't come around. Like the offense train hasn't like looped around to that yet, so I can still say that.
No, you're punching up pretty high.
You're
literally uppercutting the sky when you say that. That is true.
Yeah.
But anyway.
One day, but hopefully generations from now, everything like equality will have gotten to the point that saying male feminists are creeps will be offensive. But we're not there yet.
Not there yet. We're just not there yet.
Yeah.
No, my thing about that is that like I don't call myself a feminist. I just do feminist things. Okay.
But you, because, oh, but so the, what? But, so you're ashamed to call yourself a feminist?
No.
You gotta be out there and you gotta be loud and proud about it. They don't need your silent support. They need an ally.
No, I know, but what
you
I'm saying,
gotta be Ally McBeal.
But the same way,
dancing baby for feminism.
But the same way, but anybody that talks too loudly, all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. It's kind of like if, like I just do it because that's who I am, not because I want to be congratulated or anything. Because if I was to go up to you and I'd be like, "Hey, I'm Ed Galvez. I'm a human being," you'd be like, "Is this guy a robot, alien, or lizard person?" Because he's definitely not a human being.
True.
You know?
Yes. It's like whenever anybody says, "Hey, hey, hey," first things first, I'm not a crazy person. It's like, yeah. Well, that's
oh,
crazy
you're
guy.
Okay. Well,
take off that lampshade off your head.
Yeah, I think you're a human being, Ed Galvez.
I thank you. Okay, I finally have one person on my side.
You know what?
3.6 billion more to go.
You get tickets, Joan.
Thank
for
you.
Saying that Ed is for acknowledging Ed's humanity. And Ed, you get no tickets. You gotta be louder about your feminism. You gotta be a big fucking loudmouth like me. Get in a microphone and go, "I'm a feminist, this, that. I hire women, blah, blah, blah. Old boys club," and then... And I'm
well, that's what
you,
I'm saying.
When you get on Tinder,
look at my lineups.
When you get on Tinder, it's nighttime for you. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, Ed. You're on Tinder, and it's just like, oh, here he goes. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. You'll notice I'm not being specific.
So like, many friends
right here.
So wait, are we doing this? Are we doing this K-Fab thing?
I don't think we have time. All right,
let's do one real quick.
All right. Kayfabe only. What would happen if legendary characters faced off at WrestleMania? Now, look, here's what we want to do. We want to build an entertaining wrestling match.
Okay.
So this isn't who would win in a fight. It's like, tell me a story.
What's going to be the
give
better
it
show?
Stakes. Mm-hmm. Who should win? And what does that win set up? Book the territory, win the tickets, get first place, save the podcast. Match number one, Captain Janeway versus Captain Planet. Janeway's got the whole Voyager at her disposal. That Voyager is lost in space, so let's say they're facing off with the Delta Quadrant. Captain Planet has the five kids, but as we all know, those five kids' powers are useless because they use their rings to make Captain Planet. But he's still got, like, five kids that he can use. Who wins? Who loses? Book the territory.
Now, are outside bloggers going to be a part of this also?
They are now.
Because I could see the think pieces about, well, he's still using children as labor, so...
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yes.
Gaia isn't giving those... Gaia, the spirit of the Earth, played by...
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg. Gaia, Guinan, Guinan.
Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri. Wait, no, but Guinan was also Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, yes.
So there's an interesting thing, because Guinan is in the Star Trek universe and obviously lives in the Nexus.
Yes, and she has powers, right?
Guinan has... some powers. Guinan's tangled with the Borg before, just like Captain Janeway.
Ooh, so is that the twist that Gaia and Guinan are one and the same?
That's what I'm saying, because the names are so similar.
Yes.
Guinan.
Yes.
Guinan the guy the whole time.
So we're thinking like a late in the match twist where Captain Planet calls on Guinan and then she's like, "Guess what? Star Trek."
Yeah. Calls on Gaia.
Yeah,
then
Gaia, yeah.
Gaia takes off that robe, puts on that big tall hat pours a drink for Captain Janeway.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I love it.
I love it.
That's a great twist. That's 10 tickets for that twist. Good job.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Wait, what?
No, I appreciate it.
You're
I love
welcome.
These. I love it. I love it.
All
what's
right.
happening right now?
Now, Captain Planet could fly. Captain Planet can absorb pollution, but it weakens him. Captain Planet can turn gross things good, but at a cost, like his own personal mana, essentially. Captain Planet can fly. He's got super strength. So I guess the first thing Captain Planet's got to do is he's got to get the Voyager's shields down somehow. Maybe Captain Planet can absorb a bunch of solar energy and redirect it at the Voyager's deflector dish, shorting it out temporarily. What do you guys think of that?
And I'll let you take this one.
I'm not sure who the other person is.
Captain Planet?
No, it's that it's Captain Planet versus who?
Captain Janeway from Voyager. She's the captain of a really powerful ship, actually. The Voyager was very, very strong. The Voyager probably wasn't as strong as the Enterprise D, but like the Voyager was a real tough little ship.
Now, is Captain Planet is Earth the exclusive planet for Captain Planet? Or if Captain Planet goes to Mars, now I'm Captain Planet of Mars.
Here's what I'm going to argue that they are all that Captain Planet is only captain of his planet, but I'd imagine that every planet has their own Captain Planet figure.
Like the Captain Planet of Beta Zed, the Captain Planet of Romulus, R.I.P.
So could he call upon those other captains for assistance?
Now, I like this because it puts their loyalty to the Federation against their loyalty to the Planet Squad. Because if you call on the captain from Kronos, you know, at this point the Federation and the Klingon are on pretty good terms after the Dominion War. So who's Captain Kronos gonna fight here, Captain Janeway? Or is he gonna fight Captain Planet?
Yes.
Tough.
So it's kinda like when you work at a restaurant and then your GM of your Cheesecake Factory will call the GM from the TGI Fridays in the same strip mall, like, hey, we're out of toilet paper, can we borrow a few cases? It's like, yeah. Just pay us when your shipment comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, why didn't you say that from the start?
It's that, yes. You, yes, perfect analogy.
Yeah, obviously. The reason I didn't say it is because I thought it was too obvious. Yes. You're just being a choral character right now for the audience, and I appreciate that. All right, so Captain Planet, he's redirected a bunch of solar energy. Now the Voyager shields are down. Captain Planet flies through the hull of the Voyager, lands on the bridge. So let's say 14 crew members die right away, because when the Borg ship cut a small section out of the saucer, the Enterprise, first time they ran into the Borg, it killed about 14. About 14 people are dead, but emergency shielding has gone over the hole. Now Captain Planet's on the bridge facing off against Janeway. Chakotay's there. Tuvok is there. Now, of course, the two most powerful people that I think could really make some good moves here are obviously the Doctor and Seven of Nine. Joan, what do you got here?
Wait, the Doctor as in Doctor... Wait, from Doctor Who?
No, the Doctor. Oh. The emergency medical hologram.
Oh, yeah. Just called from the show I've watched, Star Trek Voyager. Oh.
I didn't watch Star Trek Voyager either, but I know you know a lot about it.
Oh, I know nothing about Star Trek Voyager.
How can you not know about Voyager? You don't know about Tuvix? Wait a minute.
Nope.
Tuvix is what happened when Neelix and Tuvok
got beamed up
together.
What is happening?
They formed a sentient half Tuvok, half Neelix called Tuvix.
Okay, I'm going to assume by the Doctor you're talking about. The Ninth Doctor.
Okay. The War Doctor? The Ninth Doctor.
I guess technically the Ninth Doctor. The War Doctor is the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah! 10 tickets to Coconuts, bitch!
But...
You can have these tickets.
Yay. Yes. And he's gonna wear his cool leather jacket.
Alright, I see that neither of you know anything about either of these properties.
I know about Captain Planet.
Well, then tell me who'd win!
Ivan Ooze.
Well, I'm gonna assume that the monkey has
from
a fire
Rangers.
Right. You couldn't have even said Hoggis Greeley. Hoggis Greenley. Couldn't even said Hoggis Greenley.
Hoggis Greenley. He's like a pig commando.
Yeah, he is a pig commando.
Remember Barnyard Commandos?
I sure do. Tell me more about them, but I remember them.
Barnyard Commandos.
I was more of a Food Fighters kid.
Oh,
but go
Food
ahead.
Fighters. The Kitchen Commandos, and what was the other one?
Oh, shit.
Well, that has been Science Friction. I mean, now that we've devolved my game into remembering other things, I'm your host, Asterios Kokonos. Count up your tickets. Who's got the most tickets? Who's got the most tickets? How many tickets you got at Galvez?
I had a 56.
56? That's a lot of tickets. I'm sure you won.
Somebody take the most tickets.
We should all give up right now. Just for argument's sake, how many tickets do you have?
Remind me which is the big number. The number Ed said, which I've already forgotten.
56.
Or 113.
Oh my God! With 113 tickets, Joan Ford's our winner! Congratulations, Joanie!
Well, the best. What are
Ed,
you?
Put
what
on
are,
that gun.
What? What?
Ed, no!
No! That's what I'm looking for.
Oh my God! No!
Well, the best Porg one.
All right. I have prizes for you guys.
Yay!
Ed, you are a second place player and you win this Street Fighter blind bag.
Ooh.
What?
You could get Cammy, you could get Chun-Li, you could get Sagat or Vega or Guile. There's a 1 in 12 chance of you getting all these. Apparently there's no chase figure here. You could get M. Bison. Let's see who you got. And while you're opening this bag, plug your stuff and tell people where they can find you.
Oh, edgalvez.net is my website. At Ed Galvez on the most popular social medias. I have a movie on Showtime called Amigo Undead with Randall Park and Steve Agee, Josh Fadem, and I'm in a new movie coming out called A Brand New Old Love with Arturo Castro from Broad City and Aya Cash from Mirror of the Worst.
That's great.
And inside my blind bag I want.
Oh.
Which Street Fighter 2 characters?
Everyone's it's favorite. Something
begins with an A.
Street Fighter.
I love Street Fighter, and I got the one that's like not a, not from.
He's like from like Street Fighter Alpha 4.
Yeah. Well, he has a red man bun. Yeah, yes, he looks like a Dragon
Bunzo.
Ball Z.
Yes, everyone's favorite. He's super strong. Watch out for his weak attack.
Yeah,
surprisingly strong. For
I'm
a weak
sorry,
attack.
I'm a poser nerd.
Oh, I definitely
they like promoted that character so hard when like one of the alphas came out, and it was like, nope, sorry. Sorry, Street Fighter. No, yeah. Thank you.
Well, speaking of alphas, Joan, you proved yourself to be the alpha on this one. We've got a DC Comics blind box. Why don't you tell people what you might win?
It is so these are rockers. They look like little characters that like they're weighted. They're like weighted so they like rock around. You can never knock them over, just like the real Superman. And it looks like I could get a Batman, a Flash, a Superman, a Joker, a Harley Quinn, a Riddler, or a Chase Design Chase Design Joker.
Nice.
What's a Chase Design Joker?
It means like it's like a secret. They're just not telling you.
Yeah, but it's very valuable if we find that we could sell it outside right
now.
Yeah,
we would be on easy, like all three of us would be on easy street.
We're
live again. If we got this chaser, oh my God.
All right, Joni, where can people find your stuff?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter as Joan Haley Ford. And then you can see my stuff every day on Nerdist.com, like sketches, videos, whatever, posting there all the time. And if you're ever at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles, I'm doing a lot of stuff there. And I got, it's super wrapped.
It's shaped like a chaser.
Oh, it is, wait, is this the chaser Joker? No, it's the regular Joker. We're back to work, guys. Back to the daily grind. Back to the daily grind. No.
Wait, try to knock that down, Joan.
Came back up.
It's like a Weeble, only it's a Weeble that murdered Jason Todd. Well, that's been Science Friction. If you loved the show, you can support the show at patreon.com/Asterios and get bonus episodes and fun stuff. And me, I got a new t-shirt. Go to gumroad.com/Asterios to get it. It is my Santa Cuck design for the holidays only. Anyway, I've been Asterios Kodos. We got Joan Ford. We got Ed Galvez. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good night out there.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, Internet.